The World Wide Web turns 30, but will the next 30 years be a lot less worldwide? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Thirty years ago this month, computer scientist and engineer Tim Berners-Lee wrote a proposal for how to link lots of information across lots of computers. And that proposal for a global network of information that made the world a better place eventually became the World Wide Web. But these days, the vision is looking a little ragged. Some believe the web is even on the verge of splintering into multiple internets, depending on where or how you get online. Zeynep Dufekci is an associate professor at the University of North Carolina and studies emerging technology and society. I asked her, what is the state of the web right now?
I would say it's at a turning point. It was built for a very different kind of vision. It was built as a small network. So the next 30 years will be, how do we adjust course so we can keep all the magic, but also deal with the real challenges of having this global kind of connectivity?
Right. One of the conversations that we are starting to have about this turning point is that it might not remain totally universal, that there might be, you know, this idea of a splinter net or a balkanization. How possible do you think that is?
I think that's absolutely possible. And in some areas, it's kind of happened. The example people give is China, which has the so-called Great Firewall, that it has a very different ecology than most places where the internet is. And also, for a lot of people, Facebook is the internet. Or for a lot of young people, YouTube is the internet. So there's many ways in which the internet is splintering into different modalities of use. And there are different questions for each of these in terms of how do we connect, how do we reconnect, and what are the laws and rules and ethics and norms that govern each one, and what does it mean for us?
If, you know, multiple walled gardens spring up in that way, what are the implications broadly for kind of free speech or global commerce or any of the things that the World Wide Web has brought so far?
Well, one of the big implications is that we're splintering in our information too, right? There are so many ways in which if you're on Facebook, you're seeing one thing and your neighbor is seeing something totally different, even though it's within the same walled garden, you have a very different experience of what's going on. So the splinter that we see is just tearing us in different, it's pulling us centrifugally in all sorts of different directions without creating mechanisms that would also help us come back together when we want to. And that, I think, is a problem we're seeing all over the world.
How do we preserve those original ideals?
So one of the things I think about the open web and that kind of connectivity is that we need the safety and security and privacy assurances and structures and institutions. Now, it's really time for the people we did elect, right, our legislatures around the world, to step up and say, wait, you know, there's all these decisions to be made that are of public interest. They're not just about a few companies and a few things. There are very important principles and public interest at stake. It needs to happen in the U.S., in other places too, and it needs to kind of happen in a coordinated fashion. We have Universal Declaration of Human Rights. You can just start from documents like that and say, what does this mean for how we design the web?
Zeynep Dufekci, I would totally vote for you for Web UN. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. And thank you for your vote.
We spoke to her just before she was hopping a plane to Switzerland to attend a celebration at CERN, the European physics lab where Tim Berners-Lee wrote his proposal for the web. And now for some related links. Tim Berners-Lee, now Sir Tim Berners-Lee to be precise, has become a critic of the advertising-supported business model that has become the default for much of the web. He founded the World Wide Web Foundation to promote a free and open web for the half of the world that isn't online yet, and hopefully improve it for the ones who are. He also founded a project called Solid, which is a platform that would ideally let people own and control their own data, basically by creating little digital pods of information, and then developers could build apps that access that data with the user's permission. Berners-Lee has also argued that the dominant tech giants, Google and Facebook, might need to be broken up. That's something Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren also brought up last week in a Medium post that is worth a read and is surprisingly techie. She even threw in a diss at Microsoft Bing, which, poor Bing. And yes, everyone acknowledges that trying to turn the huge, big, profitable, increasingly centralized ship that is the web as we know it is a major undertaking, and no one's quite sure how to pull it off yet, other than the United Nations for the Web, which should totally happen. What do you think? Are you worried about the future of the web or interested in running for WebUN? Email us at mptech@marketplace.org. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.